The news.
BBC News with Nick Kelly. Parliament in Afghanistan has rejected more than two-thirds of President Hamid Karzai's proposed new cabinet, dealing him a serious political blow. Those rejected include a former warlord who's accused of human rights abuses. Peter Grester reports from Kabul.
This has been a torturous process with a painful outcome for President Karzai. The laborious secret ballot ran throughout Saturday, and by its close, only seven of his cabinet of 24 had managed to get the support of a majority of parliamentarians. The rest, 17 in all, were rejected. They include Ismail Khan, a former warlord and perhaps the most controversial cabinet nomination. President Karzai wanted him to run the Ministry of Energy and Water. Gone, too, is the only female minister, along with the nominations for Justice, Commerce, Energy, Economy, Public Health and Communications.
A Somali man has appeared in court in Denmark charged with trying to murder a Danish artist whose cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad sparked riots and protests among Muslims around the world. Muslim organisations in Denmark have condemned the attack. Julian Isherwood reports from Copenhagen.
Rolled into court on a stretcher and with a cover over his face to prevent him from being recognised, the man denied all charges brought against him of attempting to kill Kurt Vestergaard and a policeman. Kurt Vestergaard was one of 12 Danish cartoonists who in 2005 produced drawings of the Prophet Muhammad, which incensed many Muslims. For the past 4 years, Mr. Vestergaard has been under police protection because of several death threats.
President Obama has for the first time said a group linked to Al-Qaeda was behind the failed attack on an American airliner on Christmas Day. In his weekly radio and video address, he said the young Nigerian man, Omar Farouk Abdulmutallab, had travelled to Yemen and had been equipped, trained and directed to carry out the attack. President Obama said all those involved will be held to account and the U.S. government would continue to work closely with Yemen to fight terrorism.
As President, I've made it a priority to strengthen our partnership with the Yemeni government, training and equipping their security forces, sharing intelligence, and working with them to strike Al-Qaeda terrorists. And even before Christmas Day, we had seen the results. Training camps have been struck, leaders eliminated, plots disrupted. And all those involved in the attempted act of terrorism on Christmas must know you too will be held to account.
Villagers in northwest Pakistan have been mourning the victims of a suicide attack on spectators at a sports event. More than 90 people died and many more were wounded by the explosion at a volleyball tournament near the town of Lucky Marwat on Friday. The United States condemned the attack and said it would continue supporting Pakistan's efforts to combat extremism and bolster democracy. For his part, the Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari said such attacks wouldn't weaken his government's resolve to fight terrorism. World News from the BBC. A town in central Somalia has been captured by Islamic militants of Al-Shabaab. At least 10 people were killed during fighting for the town Dusamareb. It had been held by Ahlus Sunnah, a group that follows a Sufi form of Islam, which is rejected by Al-Shabaab. Pirates have hijacked two more ships off the Somali coast, bringing to four the number of vessels seized this week. The latest targets were an Indonesian-owned chemical tanker heading for India and a British-flagged cargo ship carrying cars from Singapore to Saudi Arabia. The European Union's anti-piracy task force said the car transporter was well outside the area patrolled by its warships. The son of the late dissident cleric, Grand Ayatollah Hussein Ali Montazeri, has urged the Iranian authorities to reach a compromise with the opposition to avoid what he called catastrophic consequences. Speaking by phone from his home in Qom, Saeed Montazeri said Iran's rulers should come to their senses and take the path of national reconciliation. His statement echoed that of the opposition leader, Mir Hussein Mousavi, who urged the government on Friday to calm the situation by accepting people's rights to peaceful protest and introducing reforms. And Sweden is issuing licenses to permit wolf hunting for the first time since the 1960s. The Swedish Environmental Protection Agency has decided that 27 wolves can be shot between now and mid-February. James Rogers reports.
Having waited almost half a century for the right to shoot wolves, Swedish hunters have been out in large numbers. Radio Sweden's website has reported that more than half of the permitted number of wolves has already been killed on only the first day of a season that is due to last until February the 15th. The 27 wolves which can legally be shot represent just over 10% of Sweden's wolf population. The Swedish Society for Nature Conservation has criticised the decision, arguing that the wolf is an endangered species.
BBC News.